All right, well, we'll talk about preservation here. Let's just go through this thing in soteriology. Three wonderful scriptures here. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. I just laid them out. I just set them out.
Yeah, we have them. Like, but did you do substitution? I don't know about
I thought I did.
Yes.
Oh, did you?
Yes, we did substitution. Okay. Yeah, we're on preservation. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, when you got saved, your body was made blameless? If only it stayed that way. But He's able to preserve you. That doesn't mean sinless perfection. He's able to preserve you as blameless. Blameless does not mean what? Sinless. Did you notice that? Your spirit can become defiled and it can become blameless again by getting right. Wonderful, wonderful. "Faithful is He that calleth you, also will do it. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless," that's preservation, "before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." Now definition. Preservation is the state of being kept from ruin or demise. Kept from being ruined or demised. What are you preserved from? Well, you're preserved from losing your salvation. That's obvious. Scripture talks about preservation all throughout it, Old Testament and New Testament. And yet a charismatic will say, you can lose your salvation. No. If I'm not preserved from anything else, why would I want to be preserved from anything else except from hell? That's why I got saved to begin with. You're also preserved from losing your relationship with God as His children. You never cannot be His children. I read a neat little list, and I'll teach it probably next week. It's what would have to happen if you were to lose your salvation. Are you ready? First of all, God would have to abort you. He would have to murder you in your spirit. It's not possible for you to have been born again. It's just like a mother saying, "I don't want this child," and so she aborts him. It's the equivalent of murder. God would have to murder you. Not just judge you, but to stop you from getting to heaven, He would have to physically become Himself a murderer to stop you from getting into heaven, to send you to hell. It's a very powerful list of things. You cannot lose your relationship with God. You are preserved from losing the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. Write down next to it the word sealed. Sealed. What does sealed mean? Locked tight. When you put air in a tire, it's no good unless you put a seal around the inside of the rim so when it fills up, it's not going to let air out anymore. Amen? And what is the seal holding salvation inside of you? It's the Holy Spirit. So every windowsill has a seal around it so air doesn't come through. And the seal that keeps God from leaking out of us, amen, is the Holy Spirit. You cannot lose His presence in your lives. D, you cannot lose your peace with God. Can you lose the peace of God?
Yes.
Yes, but you cannot lose your peace with God. We have been made brought nigh. We have been made one with God. There are plenty of things we can lose, like our joy, our rewards, our fellowship, our sanity. But you are preserved from losing plenty of other important stuff. Six, what if a believer could lose their salvation? You would have a spiritual abortion. You would have a spiritual abortion. That would prove God to be a liar if you could lose your salvation. Go to Titus 1:2. John, would you read that? Titus 1:2.
"In the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began."
So what a strange thing if He promises eternal life and He goes, you didn't make it. No, I'm not going to give it to you. The requirement is just repent or believe. And yet He'd say, no, that wasn't enough. For Him to lie is not possible. Sorry?
this just brings up another issue. That He had planned and promised that He would execute and the plan of salvation before the world began, right? Is that, He promises? the hope of eternal life before the plan was set down or whatever, you know.
Right, and he opened the door and he says, you want to go through it? Go through it. And it would be awful if I went up to the door and he slammed it in my face.
Right.
That's Calvinism.
I'm just thinking in relation to the lamb slain from the foundation of the world in Revelation, you know.
Yeah.
That was the plan of it happening.
When God imagines something, it happens.
Yeah.
Okay. So he planned it. That's why the lamb was slain already in God and in his mind before it actually happened. Because as far, when God says it's so, whether we've seen it or not. Right? As far as he's concerned, the future has already taken place. It's already done. I am seated in heavenly places even though I'm physically not there. Secondly, a believer, if you lost your salvation, you would be judged on your works, and you're told not of works. Not of works. Not of works. Lest any man should boast.
Right.
But if you're going to lose your salvation, obviously you're being judged by your works. Thirdly, eternal life would be a misnomer. It would not mean what it says. I have eternal life, but I have it temporarily.
Temporary eternal life.
Yeah, it doesn't, it's like, that's really, you have to be a lawyer to figure out something like that. Eternal life would be a misnomer. Grace wouldn't be grace anymore.
That's right.
Why even believe if we're probably going to lose it? I wouldn't even try. If I learned what a Pentecostal really believes and what really preaches, I would go, and I did. For 4 years from the time that my parents divorced, my mom went looking around for different churches. We tried charismatic churches, Pentecostal churches, wacko churches, Methodist churches, Baptist, some Southern Baptist churches, never went to an independent Baptist church. And we tried all these different churches, and when I was in the Pentecostals, I knew it was for the birds. I went, this is not, there's no semblance of any kind of logic, sense of reality in these people. And if I, and through that, I realized, I don't even want to try. And if I said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou might be saved, if you keep the faith, I go, I'm going to blow it. Why even try? It is a horrible thing. Yes. All roads lead back to Rome, always.
Just trying to maintain righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Stay in the state of grace. Seven, how are believers preserved? First of all, by the word of God spoken in our favor. It's promised by God. You're preserved not because of anything you ever do, it's because God said, I'll preserve you. End of story. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in Barry shall perform it. It's going to happen. Until the day of Jesus Christ. Until the rapture. So, you're preserved by the very commandment of God. If he was able to command the worlds and they're still here, he's able to command your salvation and it still stick. Isn't that cool? The earth shall not be moved until God speaks. And then it rumbles and shakes and rolls. Secondly, by the perfect, still living blood of Christ, did you know you are preserved because the blood of Christ is still before the throne of God? Let's go to Hebrews 12. Well, John MacArthur is going to learn one day about the blood of Christ. All right, back to you, Dan. Dan, Hebrews chapter 12. Let me give you a little background here. Start back there, verse 22 to 24.
But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to spirits of just men made perfect.
Hold. So where are we come? Going to that?
Heavenly Jerusalem.
Yeah, it's going to New Jerusalem, going to heaven. We're come to that. That's our focus. Before, he says, the Jews came to Mount Sinai, but our mount is Zion, right? All right, and look what's all up there in heaven. The General Assembly and Church of the firstborn being Jesus. All right, it's the Church of Jesus. You come to God in heaven. You come to the spirits of just men made perfect. You come to their spirits, not their body yet. And you meet, verse 24...
And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant.
And
to the blood of the sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abraham.
So you're going to be walking through heaven, you're going to meet Abraham. Hey, Isaac! Adam! Eve! Peter! Dude! Hey! Jesus! God! The blood is going to be there, right before the throne of God. That's what was shed for me. I don't know what it's going to be in. I don't know how it's going to be there. But it is eternal blood. It cannot disappear. It's God's blood. So when you get to heaven, you'll come to the blood of Christ. And that's what keeps you saved. Amen? All the other Old Testament sacrifice, how long was their blood sufficient for?
Year.
1 year. That blood lasts forever. It's cool. What color?
I don't want fire to come to Wednesday nights. Dawn, may I just put that forth now? Go ahead, Barry. Just
Do you know, like, you can only access the forgiveness of, or you can only access the blood of Christ with faith, by faith.
Right.
So what if you lose faith? You know what I mean? Like, is it, can you access it anymore?
Right, well, let me see if I can, if I understand.
Like,
is the blood,
the answer is yes, but with power.
Is the blood efficacious, is the theological term, when I don't need it or use it? And I want to say this. In the Old Testament, here's a door, okay, and you've got a lintel and a side post around that door, and they placed the blood on the sides. Let's do it with real red. They put the blood on the sides, and they put it above. And God said, when I see the blood, what did He say He would do in the Passover? I will pass over you. My judgment would fall on the next house if it did not have blood. So once it has been applied, even if you lose faith, as long as the blood is still there, it still keeps you protected. It is your defense. I applied the blood with very simple faith on the 15th of June 1980. I may go up and down in my confidence and in my faith, but the blood is still there, protecting the contents of those inside. Okay? So I may not be praising and really believing and accessing more power that's in the blood. I'm just trusting the Passover. And He passes right over. It's not my great faith that He sees. He sees the blood. Do you understand? That's why our songs are about the blood and not just about our faith. Because our faith goes up and down like a yo-yo. It's the blood that when it's applied to me, even just once, it's enough to save me for all eternity.
Mother. Okay?
Yes. It's actually 2 Timothy, but
Second
yes.
2 Timothy, though, sorry. He can't have to deny himself.
That's right. That's right. Because He's the blood, and He can't deny that He's still there covering us.
It's for a man's sake that we need to see works. You know,
yep. James says,
your salvation might be justified in my sight.
That's right.
But not in God's.
Right. So, C. There's something else that helps us to stay preserved, and that is the intercession of Jesus Christ on our behalf as our advocate. 1 John 2. 1 John 2 and verse 1. Kathy.
My little children, things right, I urge you that we sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
Wow. You have the best attorney in the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, First John is, I know he says, you know, if you sin, you know, there's all these kind of definite statements, you know, that's kind of unusual the way he puts them.
Mm-hmm.
And is that kind of like, if you put that to when Jesus spoke and he said, you know, if then I'd be single, you know, if there's darkness in, how dark is that darkness, you know, all right, you're saved and there's darkness in you. You know, that he talks about that principle. Is that the sin or whatever in you that it kind of, it blocks out the glory of God in your life or whatever, but it's not that you're not saved or whatever, you know. It's not that just because you sinned, and you know, he says, we're not of, I can't find that, like, but I always wanted to read a commentary on that or whatever. Do you know what I'm asking?
No.
That's fair. You know, he says definite statements like, you know, if he sinned.
Well, I'm sorry. If we sin, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, right?
But, you know, that he says that he that says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. You know, but like, I can hate my brother and be saved. You know, that sort of idea.
Mm-hmm.
That he that loves his brother abide in the light and there's not occasion of stumbling.
There's one possibility, okay, without going too deep. A lot of those things apply to continual acts of hatred. If you stay hateful towards somebody, then you are in darkness. Everyone has the flesh that causes them to hate, to become bitter. But if you stay bitter, if you stay hateful, then you're lost.
Okay. So okay. Continue, like, you know, he that said, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, continue, you know, kind of...
Keepeth.
On a regular
it's a continual,
basis.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a liar and the truth is not in him.
Right.
You know, because, you know, Jesus says, if you love me, you keep my commandments, but, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not perfect.
That's right. But if you don't, but if you flippantly go, but I don't care, I can live any way I want.
Right. Mm,
I wonder about your salvation. There ought to be a little voice, it's not your conscience, that's saying, I can't live that way anymore. So the truth is, out of 50 million Pentecostals, I wonder how many of them are saved who say, I can still drink, I can still do whatever I want. I just go to church in my shorts and my Hawaiian shirt and I'm happy. I don't need a Bible. And you wonder, are they really saved at all?
Just thinking of,
which I do wonder.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Johan, you know, kind of, he knows he's in rebellion and he, you know, you can see the bitterness, so you can see, you know, if he, well, for me, it's a proof of salvation that he's so bothered about it. You know what I mean? Because he wouldn't care. He wouldn't care if he
yeah,
was the city
right.
and all his friends,
right.
and he wouldn't have any burden on it. But he seems like he's a ton of brakes on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just when I.
Yeah. First John is a theological minefield, because when you start to take certain ifs and then apply them generally across the board. A lot of people break their spiritual neck, and a lot of people steer away from 1 John. It is one of the greatest books for confidence, but most people do not take the time to put it line by line. Most people just will extract a concept and go, for example, if you look at verse 4, chapter 3.
Yeah.
It says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses all the law, right? For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that He, Jesus, was manifest to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. And you get what are called holiness groups who say that, I will get down there, that if I commit sin, I'm breaking the law, and Christ took away my sin. I shouldn't be sinning at all. Mm-hmm. See, they begin to say, but that's, listen, if there's a bigger truth, if you take it superficially, you can really hurt yourself.
Right.
Watch this. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. If you abide in me. Yeah. One of the proofs that you're saved is that you stay on course. You may drop off every once in a while, but you get back on course.
Right.
Whosoever sinneth, sins and sins and sins, has not seen Him, neither known Him, neither known Jesus. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth continually righteousness, that's a righteous man, even as Jesus is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the... Now, I speak very practically, and I say, every time you sin, you're obeying the devil. End of story. But are you of the devil? Only when you continually live in sin. Okay? He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth continually. The ETH means sins and sins and sins from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. I'm in trouble now. I guess because I sin, I must not be born of God. No. You take a step back and you go, no, there's a part of me that is born of God. And that never sins. That's my new man. But there's a part of me that is not born of God. That's my flesh. And all it does is sin. I constantly yield between which one I'm going to let run my life. So when people come to 1 John, they never ever analyze and challenge what they say. They just spout off and say, if you're sinning, you're of the devil. Yeah, of course, in a practical sense. But are you saying, I am of that wicked one, that I am not born again, my father's a devil? And some people go that far. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it is hard. 1 John is not the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John was written to give us Jesus Christ. 1 John is to get us so that we know that we know that we know our relationship with God. And then we establish it based on righteousness and on the works of Christ and how to evaluate, am I right with God? But most people, they blow doctrine way out of the water because they never take it bit by bit. They take it and just go, see, if you're born of God, you don't sin, for His seed remaineth in Him, and He cannot sin because He's born of God. I've never met anybody like that. Have you?
No.
So it cannot be speaking to a human. It must be speaking to the new man in the Christian. Okay? The new man in me does not sin. But the old man does. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, he says, that is, my flesh, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Well, that helps me a lot. So with my mind and my spirit, I serve the law of what does he say? No. With my mind, I serve.
Well, no. No, I serve. Yeah.
Hold on here. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. There's an old part of me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is always present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, another spiritual law, working, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself, you're right, serve the law of God. But with the flesh, I am always going to serve the law of sin and death. My flesh is going to die. But my spirit will live on because I'm serving the law of God. I'm trying to do right. Fine. People don't know how to cross-reference. Yeah. Especially when it comes to 1 John. In the latter books, Hebrews, most people break the spiritual neck on the book of Hebrews because they're looking for verses to prove you lose your salvation. Which you can't. you are by the intercession of Jesus Christ on our behalf as their advocate. Number D, by the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. 2 Corinthians 1:22. 2 Corinthians 1:22, Barry.
Had also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts.
All right, this thing of the sealing. And he just gave you just the taste of the future, okay? Ephesians 1:13. Also, Barry.
Ephesians
1:13.
In whom you also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Wow, cool. Ephesians 4:30.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
All right, that pretty well settles it. You're sealed, you're preserved until the day you're picked up.
Amen.
That's what redemption means. Until you're picked up from earth and carried to heaven. All right. So you are never preserved by your own efforts. 1 John 3:20. That's back to you, John. 1 John 3:20.
For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all.
All right. I like that. I'm glad God's greater than my heart. My worst, devil gives me an idea or convinces me of something. I'm just glad God knows better than to believe the devil. I may not know. And the devil may come around and try to accuse me to God, and God says, I know better. Amen. God is greater than our hearts. So it's never not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So how long are we preserved, folks? Good. Eternally? Forever. Not really a very good preservation if it's temporary. Okay? It doesn't work, amen? Doesn't work.
Best before.
I know, a best before date. It's pretty bad on a Christianity. Can anything break the seal? According to Romans 8, we won't go there, but it says, what does it say? But how does it start? It says, what can separate us from the love of Christ? That's pretty sad love if He can't stay on top of things. So not anything physical can break it, nothing spiritual, not even God can break the seal because He sealed us with Him because He cannot deny Himself. All right. We will stop there.